Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt, the Barbarian.
Welcome to the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, Episode 10, Octung, America. We meet again. Can you believe it's February 1st already, 2022? Wow. Like yesterday was the holidays. Unbelievable. Well, this, my friends, is the fun show of the month. And it came around fast this last time. Welcome to the Space Age Bachelor Pad and our newest blog talk radio show, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Episode 10 tonight with a star date of February 1st, 2022 AD. This is our infamous and legendary show. This is our fun show of the month, as I said. Glad you're all here. We will take calls after some fun. On this show, we'll do some different things, some more laid back. The Bachelor bar is open in the den. I'm looking at it. Drinks and libations are flowing. Wear your red velvet smoking jacket, your favorite slippers, cocktail in hand, maybe a babe in your arms, or thoughts of one, and sit back, relax. We'll hear some great music tonight. It's maybe a little bit less intense as our Thursday hard-hitting tip of the spear political show just in two more days. But I always say this, before a man settles down, quote-unquote, and gets married with 2.2 kids in America, with a K for effect, he's a rogue, infamous bachelor. And we will teach him the ways of his Viking fathers and talk in depth about what he needs to do in order to be a success in life. It's the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show, kiddo. On tonight, 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio, baby. We are, as I always say, the equal opportunity offender. Oh, yes. Now, the show is based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. You find it in all great bookstores. Every man in America, whether he's single, married, or divorced, must buy this book. You'll learn a lot. You'll get some great laughs out of it. You'll be able to spar with your friends. The chapters are like little mini chapters, big font, thick book, but easy to read. The book is big because the galaxy is humongous. It's cosmic, baby. It's big. And the bachelor's life is big. Don't limit yourselves, boys. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit your mind. Don't limit your income. Like the book, be big. Think big. Do big things. And that's why this first edition of the book, the second part two is coming out here soon, I believe, hopefully. We're working with the publisher on that. But basically, this book has got every little micro chapter that a man needs to know. And going forward in business and politics, dating tips, how to live your life, investment advice, all kinds of cool quotes and anecdotes in the book. So check it out. And it's not too early, because we just passed the holidays, for next Christmas. What a great stocking stuffer it will be. Now, the subject of my book is the retro and modern day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. That's exactly what it is. Well, it's time for our Animal House fraternity pledge.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at arms. Do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Everything, folks. We're going to give you some pointers. The real lowdown on some basic facts of married life. A guide for the married man.
Boy, oh boy.
Now, you see, Walter Matthau is married to Inger Stevens, but he develops a roving eye. The guy's got to be off his rocker to rove in a dish like this. So he goes to Robert Morse, Ph.D., doctor of philandering, for some lessons.
Do all married guys do it, Ed?
Not all of them give in to it, only about 43%, which I think is about to go up to 44.
And would you believe, all of these technical advisors give the do's and don'ts for the married man with an urge to stray. Lucille Ball, Jack Benny, Polly Bergen, Joey Bishop, Sid Caesar, Art Conger, Wally Cox, Jane Mansfield, Al March, Louis Nye, Carl Reiner, Bill Silvers, Terry Thomas, and Ben Blue. Girls, don't let your favorite fellows see this film alone.
He'd never get away with it, would he?
What was Sid Caesar's plan of action? How does Joey Bishop talk his way out of this? What did Art Carney just put over on Lucille Ball? How does a movie star steal a night out? How does Jack Benny operate?
Say, honey, what do you think we could get for this from a secondhand shop?
You can't top Phil Silver's instant alibi.
Oh, you were wearing one?
What kind of a girl do you think I am? Of course I was.
Thank you.
in the sun. They get you in the shade. They get you sniffing brandy, or when you're sipping lemonade. They get you at the flicks, though the world may call them chicks. They strike men like, well, they're the ambushers. They get you when you're high. They get you when you're short. You is just their favorite indoor-outdoor sport. They get you in a mink, off the deep end in the drink. Female, female, well, they're the ambushers. Blonde and a brunette lie in wait like engines in the grass. You're coming through the pass. Buster, your General Custer. Ah, they get you with a hey.
Hey!
They get you in disguise. They get you with their lips, their hips, and their smile, their style, their eyes. They get you cheek to cheek, down the aisle and up the creek. In chase, next cake, well,
they're the ambushers. Well, I think we had some audio issues right before we went out to the major song there to start the show. But I will tell you this again. We had a guy who wrote the show, and he wrote this about the radio show in the book. He said, one can learn so much from this ultimate bachelor's guide. It is well-organized, well-written, a great book for anyone. As I turned the pages, I couldn't keep myself from smiling and laughing and learning about the ways of the real man in America. It was quite amusing how I discovered characteristics of my male friends lying right in the text in of each chapter in the book. After reading it, I felt it was a perfect gift for my older brother, who recently turned 22. This book really got me interested in the bachelor lifestyle before I get married, and I attended a few seminars in my local area about relationships, etc. I brought the book, and everyone loved it, just as I have loved the book myself. I recommend this book for both men and women of all ages. It's signed The Bachelor from Chicago. Very, very cool. Well, as I said, Chicago is where Hugh Hefner started the Playboy Mansion empire, and he should be studied by all young men because he created many multi-millionaires from his empire of the Playboy magazine, the Playboy show, his Playboy clubs, fashion line, etc. So there's a lot to be that you can learn and glean from Hugh Hefner. Forget about the haters, forget about the pundits, forget about the ideologues. The people that say, you know, he was degenerate. Look, he's a lot less degenerate than a lot of people in Hollywood today, put it that way. But what I like to look at is the business angle and what people can create. He created an empire out of thin air, and that's the gist what I'm talking about here. He had a dream. No one gave him $1 million, and he started something very, very big that took off like a banshee. And the guy made millions, hundreds of millions of dollars over time. The Playboy empire will make money for the next 1,000 years. Talk about a jackpot. It's going to spin off money and products forever with that infamous and very famous logo. So you can say what you want. You can think what you want. But Hugh Hefner, in many ways, people like him, brought in a lot of money to America. They created a lot of revenue streams for a lot of people. He made a lot of people famous. He has infamous Playboy Mansion parties at the Playboy Mansion. So if you're a young guy, whatever you're trying to build, a widget, a car, a tool, if you're going to write a book, if you're going to do anything, any of your dreams, are you going to go build a business? Are you going to build a publishing house or, you know, scale a mountain? Whatever you're trying to accomplish. Just remember, all things start out small, and they grow, and if they take off, they will grow exponentially. But it all starts with a dream. And I want you guys to maintain your dreams. Don't let anybody coming into your life, male or female, be a dream killer. Maintain those dreams. Nourish them. You know, and that's the only way to go through life. So gentlemen out there, pirates and rat pack bastards worldwide, I ask you again to get your best cocktail. Put your best red velvet smoking jacket on. Light up your cigar pipe with your favorite vintage and cool lighter. Get the cufflinks ready, baby. Wear your favorite leather loafers and slick back that hair retro Goodfellas style with your favorite manly numero uno cologne. As we delve into the bachelor universe and galactic cosmos with wild abandon. Now, astrophysicists tell us all the time that radio waves that go into space are constantly being circulated. Very interesting. That they're never lost, in other words. And so thinking of that, it's pretty amazing that this show, and when you call it these radio shows, your voice is captured in the cosmos, captured in the radio wave, and they'll be there forever. They will be there forever. Just amazing, isn't it? That these things can happen. Just amazing. Well, while we're thinking about that, splash on your numero uno cologne.
Search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold, numero uno green, numero uno red, numero uno silver. Four numero uno colognes, all different, all wild. Find yours with the searcher kit, a jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno! Los Angeles weather.
Low overcast tonight, low around 58, mostly sunny tomorrow with a high near 68. No smog, beaches now 62, valley 66, downtown 65, Orange County 66.
Don't dare stare at the illustrated man.
Oh, yes. Let's get to a quick call here. We'll get to our tech wizard, the Irish pirate, in all his glory. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, you found me.
Yes.
Worked hard all day, hardly slept, but I definitely had to stay up for the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy show so we can run it. And
absolutely, man. Glad you're here. You're in the Bachelor's Den. We're smoking a few cigars, having a few drinks. What are your thoughts tonight about the state of whether a man, woman, relationships, dating? The floor is yours, sir.
I'm keenly aware of how much actual brainwashing goes into just absolutely destroying the way that our culture was originally meant to be. That as I've been studying things like what makes an individual be legally capable of actually telling the world how he wants to represent himself, and the powers that be saying, forget you. You know, who are you? We have complete control over everything you say and do. We're going to slant the way you think with not only what goes into Hollywood and even network comedy, but we're also going to make sure that the products that you actually think are the most effective for you are suddenly not as available or under complete control.
Yeah,
and when you see that
happening,
and you come back out, because what's happened with me is over time I become more and more independent. And that's even happened recently again, where somebody wanted to actually have me teach chess like I've been doing for 36 years, except for him. even though he was technically, I guess you'd call him a rival, although we have respect for each other, I guess. And I just said, no, because number one, if you do teach chess on one day a week, which, you know, many people do various pastimes just for the one day a week, and there's always going to be the one day that doesn't get in the way of everything else that's going on, in this case at schools or, And so, unfortunately, it became pretty obvious to, let's just call him my rival for the sake of what else we could call him. If we're going to teach one day a week, that's going to be the day. So how are we supposed to fill in for each other? It was one of the big questions I always had a long, long time ago, trying to imagine. So you got banker's hours, and all the businesses on the in the entire continent are supposed to run equivalent to these banker's hours. So how do grocery stores get money to be able, you know, capital to be able to run giving change and things? It made no sense to me. And that's when I figured out, looking at other cultures, that they took time out. They took siestas. They did, you know, things to be able to offset the day. But here in America, they said, no, you're going to work your butt off constantly. You're going to be constantly busy. We're going to make it so that just for you to be able to find your independence, what you're going to spend is going to be higher than other nations with, you know, GDP compared. You're going to put more time into trying to make yourself independent, because it would be harder and harder for you to represent yourself individually. I mean, if you try to do it now on social media, the moment you put out something, you run the risk of ending up like Von Weehunt being like banned off Twitter or something.
Right.
It gets pretty crazy. And
I've been banned off Twitter. I've been permanently suspended from a Twitter. They banned all my accounts.
Are you still making much headway. Are you still shut out?
Well, I might have a few rogue accounts that are out there, but they don't have my name on it. Put it that way.
Okay. So now the bottom line is, so many friends of mine have been shut down, or even they're attempting to deplatform them. To stand, for example, even temporarily against, for example, our government is being outlawed, but it's not a political thing. It's really more of the demand to cycle all ideologies so that it all goes to one social norm that certain individuals want to control. And you and I never played that game, Von Weehunt. We were never interested in what they thought was cool. And we had our own ideas
That's
of
right.
what is cool.
Yes.
And,
we
immersed
to set the record straight. Right. Let me interject here just officially, just so the audience knows, I have been officially deplatformed about a year ago from Twitter. I had about three or four accounts. One was the Von Weehunt Show. One was the Von Weehunt Show Live, et cetera. They shut them all down. Anything that said Von Weehunt was shut down. So I had about five Twitter accounts. They were all permanently suspended. So I'm on there on a different, but it's not the Von Weehunt Show. I can't be, because their algorithm sees Von Weehunt, anything, shuts it down, because I've already tried. You know?
No, the AI.
So I have been deplatformed in that sense.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, and you compare that to, I don't know, just people wanting to have their autonomy back. And I don't see, for example, what's going on in Canada with the truckers as a political issue. I see that as a cultural issue. They're telling those people, you're not allowed to stand up for yourselves. You're not allowed to have even an income stream without permission. And it's like, really? I'm sorry, but people's needs and people's wants and people's interests are too diverse for anybody to be able to say we've got everything covered. I mean, wow. I mean, let's face it. For example, Walmart claims they have everything, but the reality is they can't possibly, even now they actually force you to buy things off the internet because they can't store it. They can't stock it. And so
yes.
Luckily for us, our immersion in our own interests, our own ideas, is going to be far more efficient than what the future has in store. And we're, in many cases, we're just laughing at it. We're literally saying, look, you're not going to be able to stop the consumer from consuming what it is they enjoy doing the best, especially if it has nothing to do with you. You won't even know why I have my interests anyway. So where's
right.
the planned angle to be able to stop it if you don't even know who we are or what we're doing or why? I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
And like, as I mentioned before, I've been teaching Quest to Children for 36 years. I like doing that. I figured out why I like doing that. I could have stopped it a long time ago, especially as, you know, I actually got, for example, tossed out of tournaments or kicked out of school districts or whatever for the impressions that I occasionally leave. And I was only interested in what actually appealed to the players. It had nothing mm-hmm. to do with really with winning and losing, although that is the one reason they were most jealous of me, is that I was beating up their own game, but not
right.
me, because it's what my clients got out of it. It's what the kids got out of it, the parents got out of it. And I see the same thing happening now with bachelors in the United States, with men in general in the United States. And they changed the culture, and I thought that was really cool, that if you're going to change it, maybe I can cut it off of the pass. Maybe I could the way I brought it up here was that I saw that a lot of women then were being told that they could be successful, and they went to college and started businesses, and I thought, who's going to marry them? That's what I was thinking.
Right,
I mean,
right,
do I really
exactly.
have to change to be the best product? The answer is no, I didn't have to. And for many of the men in America, you realize you don't have to change that much if you have something going, if you recognize that you're independent of the system that they've created for you, or assuming that you're interested in such a thing. Because if you're not, you're not a bachelor. If you're not, you're not an independent thinker. If you're not, you really don't have a religion either, if you want to take it that deep. You know, where are you going to – because – so many things that are individually meant for you on this planet, whether it is you think you've got to subdue the earth, whether it is you think you've got to get closer to God, whether or not you think you're going to claim your stake, it requires a certain amount of individuality that is demanded by this country and its culture. And if you can't meet that, I mean, you're just faking it. And it doesn't take long.
Yes.
Once you get the taste of doing your own thing, your own way, you're just going to do it because it's the right thing to do. The way you see it for yourself, that you don't want to be compromised with somebody else's ideals. You don't want to be compromised by somebody else's way of doing things if it's detrimental to how you have things set up and running. And every man's bachelor pad is slightly different. Every man's feelings about marriage and family and things like that.
Children.
Now, I will admit. Yeah, I will admit, not too long ago, I went up to Page because I had basically a member of my family got married, and I supported that, and I told him why I supported that, and the very next phone call when we were deciding to get together again so I could check up and see what we got ourselves into, he turned around and he said, what you need to do is you need to have children. The way that you see the world – and what you can offer to the world, you just need – the world needs children from people like you. And it's like, wow, dude, you know, I've got 100 of them right now teaching gentlemen
right.
and whatnot.
Right.
100 of them. And he said, no, you don't understand
what
I mean.
You want the biological children, biological, right.
I'm like, I know what you mean, dude. And at my age, that ought to be interesting. But there's a better chance for a man – a better chance for a man to be able to have a moment in time where he's healthy enough to be able to do that.
Well, that's my point. And stop right there. No, you're right, Irish. And that's one thing I was talking to a friend this week about was getting married and raising kids. Let me interject here for just a moment. It's a young man's game in the sense that, you guys, when you're in your 20s and 30s, that's normally when you're going to find the hot women. It, you know, because women are like a funnel. When you're young, they're at that top of the funnel, right, where it's big and thick and wide, and there's a lot. You're meeting women at work. You're meeting them everywhere. You're tripping over them, right? Now, as you get older, like a funnel, it gets narrower and narrower and narrower. 20s and 30s is the best time to meet a wife. Because as you're young and as you're growing up in your career or your work thing, right, whatever it is, or your business, your children, as the Democrats say in D.C., your children will grow up with you. So you're growing up together, you know, up into society. And that actually is better. Also, you've got the supreme youth energy. It's the energy that you need, right, to run around chasing kids. And, you know, and now guys will always tell me that the first wife is the starter wife and that wife number two is the keeper. So the way I always look at it is whatever works for you. But that's a great point to bring up when you get to be 50, 60, 70, mid 40s, et cetera. It your availability of women goes right. It's a lot less, and so a lot of guys who want wives then go foreign because they can't meet many women who are single with no baggage in America at that age. What are your thoughts?
Wow, I think in my life it was the other way around. I think my second wife was the one that should have been used for training.
There you go. It goes on. Yeah, it's all over the board.
Yep. And so I'm just glad at the moment that I can look forward to the potential of, you know, perhaps actually being able to work out as things. And like right now, as many listeners know, Cacao Kelly and I are together, and it's only been for a little while.
Yes.
But we do see
excellent
that, yeah, the little while is not going to be a little while. It's going to be a while. And because of that, you have a different attitude towards life when you realize, hey, that I think is covered now. I think I've got that. And now you're looking for how do I extend that? How do I settle into knowing that I'm going to be, I don't know, what's the word, taken? I've made my selection and I'm moving forward with that because it's not baggage the way they talked about it. It's not the changing of a lifestyle, it's really, if it's done compatibly, it's an addition to a lifestyle. And that's kind of the way I saw it all along, but it never went that way. All too often, as we've dealt with in previous broadcasts, you're dealing with a lot of narcissism, especially in America, where people are told, you could just go after what you want and nothing else matters. And about 20% of all Americans feel this way. And it's unfortunate because as we discussed it, we realized there is no therapy for narcissism. There is no drug. There is nothing. And if you run into something like that, you just have to divest yourself of the poison somehow. And I do feel sorry because a lot of those people bounce around. And it takes away from the people that might be saving our future, the people that might actually allow people to define themselves in the future. You know, male counselors. Who's ever heard of those anymore? There's a good one. Someone who actually understands what's going on and is allowed to take someone in and train them mentally, emotionally, if they've been damaged as a male to a male. I don't even think that happens.
Mm-hmm.
There's, as you mentioned, there's not even a man show. This is it.
No.
I'm speaking
this is it.
It.
Nationwide. This is the only show dedicated to men in The Bachelor in America right now. I've already checked. No other show is dedicated to the empowerment of men in Bachelors. Not in a detrimental way, but in a very fortunate way for the country and nation. This is it.
And I'm thinking, just out of the curiosity of my mind, I wonder if there's anybody out there that's actually thinking, we have to put this to a stop. If this actually starts taking off and starts literally grabbing its cultural legs, I mean, it's going to be amazing what entities might be out there saying, we can't have men who want to be bachelors all their lives. We can't even have men that want to be fathers later in their lives. We got to find a way to slow this down, because pretty soon they're going to turn away from all those elements of our society that were put out there for us to get stuck on them.
That's right.
Like a spider's web. And so I already knew that I wasn't going to be stuck to the spider's web, but I didn't realize that there's so many people out there that need that kind of actual help to be able to see what's happening around them. And
they do need the help. Still psychological.
Yeah. Maybe one day we might actually have to have, bachelor counselors to be able to show these people. It's like, you can be free. You can be independent. You
can
be a man in America. It's possible.
That's the template for my new business.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll out nationwide, man.
That'll be like your fourth book or something when that comes out.
exactly.
But, the actual seeing that there is a need is 90% of the battle.
Right.
There's a guy out there that last time I ever had an issue and ended up losing just about every job I had running, or, things were just not going my way. That's when I normally go up to Vegas and start playing poker and come back with the rent money and whatever I need. I ran into one James Altucher. Politically, I don't agree with him, but financially I do. This is a man who's lost $1 million after gaining it, and then lost it, got $1 million more, lost it, got $1 million more, lost it 9 times. He's made $1 million 9 times by the count that at that time. I don't even know if he's done it again, maybe once or twice. But I emailed him. I found him. I emailed him. I said, dude, I've got these skills. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Do you have any advice for me? And his answer was, I think you've already done it. You contacted me. You reached out and you said, I want to be independent. I want to move in my own direction. And he says, I hope you get there, because I'm sure it's not going to be the way I did it. And I'm sure you're not going to lose it the way I lost it if you do get it. So there's really hope for you by reaching out and saying, I want to succeed independently. I don't need to be wealthy to be independently wealthy. I just need to be independent. And I'm good with that, even if I'm not wealthy. And when somebody offered $100 to teach his chess class, that's what I told my kids. They offered me $100 to teach this class. You know what? Or, to drop this class. I think you know my answer, because I'm here. And on top of that, I'm not independently wealthy. I'm just independent. And I'm happy about it. And I wish I could share that joy. Yeah, I wish I could share that joy with so many people out there that think there's nothing, or that all there is the Super Bowl coming up. And the answer is, it's only a percentage of what I'm interested in. Yeah, I mean, I did guess, on week 5, I thought the Rams would be in it. But I was more interested whether or not my favorite guys were going to be playing in it. And only one will, and that is Logan Wilson, who went to the University of Wyoming, which friends of mine did. I lived in Wyoming for a long time. And it was a very nice place to grow up. You weren't saddled by the burdens of a large city, which I was born in Los Angeles, and that was going to happen to me. Pressure to make me smoke, which I rejected. Even my parents were doing that. And I had to reject a lot of things where people said, oh, no, you're not cool if you don't do it the way we're doing it. The answer is, I don't think it's cool. I'm okay with just not doing the wrong thing. And living in a place like Wyoming did help me to be able to be a lot more scientific, to just observe. I had to turn on the AM radio and listen long distance, which you've heard me do occasionally as an art form.
Yes, I did. I did.
About that. And I still do
it was an art form. Sure.
I still do that from time to time, because there is nothing quite like listening to a broadcast that's not meant for you. I know it's one thing when you listen to some big boss radio guy from Chicago or something. Yeah, we got everything you need. Or,
We have this program ready for you, and we're going to talk in a hypnotic way to keep you from turning the dial. Get out of here. You're not interested in the subject. I mean, come on. You're turning me off just talking the way you do. So it's really cool instead to listen to something that was really not meant to get out too far past the parking lot and, you know, listen to some guy, you're listening to Cole Folk Corner. It's like, is this guy actually chewing while he's talking? I mean, is this
real?
Oh,
some of them do.
Yeah.
Some of the hosts will eat a ham sandwich while they're on the radio. I've heard it. They're literally eating and munching, which is so unprofessional. You do not eat at the radio stand. You sip.
And the funny thing is,
espresso coffee, mafioso, good style as I do. Or you have a drink from the tiki bar at your bachelor's den. A shot of this or a shot of that's good for you. Good for the vocal cords, if you know what I mean.
It's terrible because I have a natural voice for radio. And when I brought it out and when I was interning in Christian radio, they all thought I wanted to be part of the pop station locally and tell everybody all these wonderful things that didn't mean anything. They didn't understand that the reason I chose Christian radio is because I did have something to say. And eventually I liked it best when I was dealing with children's shows. They were the ones that had the most, and it got me into caricatures of which, you know, we've heard some of those things.
Okay, now let's hear a caricature for fun tonight. I'll let you pick the caricature. Let's jazz this up. You pick out a good one and go.
It's Society of the Rich and Famous with Bon Wehunt. Bon Wehunt is with us here today to be able to tell us how he made his latest $1 million. So how do you feel about that, Bon Wehunt? Oh, thank you. Thank you for all that you just said. It's like, I haven't gotten a chance to. That was a really good interview, Von Wehunt, and there's nothing wrong with getting in the show. Please make good with all our sponsors, and we're off the air. Thank you for my 15 seconds.
Gordon Liddy, that's a good one. Beautiful, man, beautiful. You are multi-talented, our tech wizard here, Irish Pirate. Irish, thank you for calling the show. If we have time, we'll try to get you on the second hour. And you have a wonderful night. We'll see you on Thursday. Yes, sir.
Absolutely, sir.
Have a great night, Irish. Thanks, sir.
Indeed. Yeah.
You never know who's going to call the Von Wehunt Show, folks. And that was our tech wizard, Irish Pirate. And by the way, it is a pirate radio show. And another, by the way, why are all these FM people, you know, these FM hippie shock jocks on the radio? They're always wanting to talk on the radio. Your job is to play good rock and roll and shut the F up. We don't need to hear about your kid's babysitter. We don't need to hear about your neighbor. We don't need to hear your catchy, cute little phrases. I find that a lot of these FM radio people, who I enjoy their shows, don't get me wrong. I mean, facetious here, but a lot of these FM radio people basically – I think have a very submerged desire to be a talk show host like me. They're not in the talk show business. They're in the music business. But I find that all of them have to talk for 2 minutes between every song now. And they want to tell you, and the females are the worst, to be honest with you. The female radio DJs cannot shut the F up. As in real life, they got to talk about stupid stuff. Some of it's kind of cute and catchy once in a while, but they overdo it. They don't know when to stop. We want to hear, as we're driving around, 3-4 songs in a row. We don't need to hear about your cat. We don't need to hear about your latest journey, your trip, what the maitre d' said at the table. Unless it's really cool and really interesting, the mundane stuff to them is so interesting. But when you're a radio listener, you don't want to hear about it on an FM station. But I find more FM guys and gals, male and female, they just want to talk now. And they're losing audience because they realize everybody likes talk radio. They like these kind of shows. And they're coming over in droves. It's amazing. Well, let's get to the call board here. And we will get to another call here. Hello, you've reached the Bachelor's Den. What's your name and where are you from?
Hi, this is Kakao Kelly.
Kakao Kelly, I thought that was you. How are you doing? What's going on tonight?
Oh, I'm just hanging out at the Bachelor's Pad.
Yes. Drink in hand, tiki bar. We have our umbrellas out. Living large. What are your thoughts about what's going on in the Bachelor's Den and beyond?
Oh, what's going on in the Bachelor's Den? Wow.
And beyond.
On
yes.
my end, it's going really
yours.
Good, actually.
Yes. Well, you got Irish Pie to keep you good company.
Oh, yeah. We play cards and all sorts of, interesting strategic games. So.
Yes, all kinds of board games, as you should, by the way, as you should.
Anyways, no, I feel
cookies.
Like this
1950 style. I said you're baking cookies and you're having a great time, 1950 style.
Hot chocolate, maybe s'mores.
Hot chocolate, s'mores, a movie here or there. A little kiss here,
right,
here
right.
or there. It's all good. Absolutely.
It is.
Love
it.
It
is. Oh, but my thoughts right now is hurry up, guys. Go find the woman, you know, because I feel like we're like Noah. You know, he built the ark, and because of the chaos of the world, we're going to have to get on that ark. And leave the land.
Yeah.
So you better make sure you have your mate. And
well,
you might have to repopulate
the earth. He had took two animals, right, of every species. So table for two, double occupancy, line up at Noah's Ark. Bon voyage is the love boat, baby. And,
absolutely.
You're right. I mean, now is the time, and guys, you know, and gals out there, they don't let this COVID stuff bring you down. You know, too many people are cagey and squirrely. I don't want to meet up. It's not safe to walk outside. I mean, I have guys that tell me, I email these ladies, and they're afraid to leave their house or apartment. That pathetic. I go, that's pretty scary. You might not even want to even be talking to her because if she's afraid to leave the house. 2 years post-COVID, that's pretty sad, man. But my point in saying that is we hope she gets better or he gets better in that case if the converse is true. But the thing is people got to get rid of this fear factor, you know? And we have to live with this thing and get out there and meet some people, have some fun.
Yeah, that's very important because if you're secluded – in your home, you know, you're isolated from others, and that causes your brain pattern to actually alter itself. And so
it does.
You need a socialization, which is
it definitely
you know,
changes
the
wiring. That's a known fact. Mm-hmm. No, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
The neuroscientists have said over time, it'll rewire your entire brain apparatus. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's what the government wants, you know. They want to divide and conquer, basically.
Yep.
So true.
The government wants people, Kakao Kelly, to be a vegetable, you know?
Oh, well, I'm far from it.
I know. We are.
Very far from
it. But millions are not. Millions get sucked into the government matrix, mind control programs, you know?
Oh,
MK Ultra, PsyOps galore.
I'm not susceptible.
CIA projects. But, as I said before, the antidote to all of that is my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. If you think you've been programmed, this book will deprogram you, guaranteed.
Did you hear me? I said, oh,
I'm hawking the book as we talk, right? I'm sorry?
Yeah, you are. I said, oh, so lots of sex, huh?
Yeah, that's
That'll
great
deprogram
therapy.
Deprogram you. Mm-hmm.
That will deprogram
it
you.
Is.
Will. If people
well,
need,
it helps your cardiovascular system.
Yes, sex is the best calorie burner that there is. It's a known fact. And in America, this is what always got me about America. As a young buck rising up through the ranks of America from the gridirons, I was the ultimate observer. I'd always noticed that America loves to talk about sex. They love to put it on TV and video. But when I was a young guy, you'd ask a girl, you know, let's get down, and she'd run for the hills. So I go, America's funny. They talk a big game, but they don't always practice what they preach, put it that way. Now, over time, things change. Maybe it's the guy's approach or whatever. But my point is that America loves to talk about sex, but America doesn't have enough sex. Now, the kind of sex that America has is the wrong kind, but they need to have more people getting together on the heterosexual level. Now, the gays, they don't care. But they wouldn't buy my book anyway, more than likely. But the heterosexual men and women are the ones that need to get together. That's where the help needs to be put in place. That's where the spotlight needs mm-hmm. to be. They've been separated by the government. They've been separated by corporations. Don't you dare talk to her, the harassment suit. Don't you dare look at her more than 3 seconds. Oh, hell will break loose. You know, all these weird things, deep minds, and what they did was they empowered the corporate human resources office to be now a litigation unit for sexual harassment suits. Many are bogus. Some are legit, but many are bogus. And it's an attack on men, bachelor, to get them as they're climbing those walls to get better. I mean, I tell guys, be careful on the job. These women will bat their eyelashes at you, and a lot of them will stab you in the back because they're trying to set you up. Now, not every woman on the job is looking to hook up. Some are looking to entrap guys. So you got to be careful as a man. It's a minefield. You don't know if she's friend or foe. You don't know. Because a lot of women, to be honest, are very good actresses. And that's a good thing for them. And a lot of men need to be able to navigate that better, you know, and figure it out. And then there's little things you can do to test her. But it's just a dicey game. And, you know, so that's where we're at in 2022, Kikau Kelly. It's game on.
Yeah.
You know?
Game on.
Crick.
So, yeah, go for it. Repopulate the earth. For time is nigh.
Hey, you know, that's how we all got here. I tell people, you can say what you want, but you know what? Somebody a few decades ago decided to get down, and we're all here. Thank God, right? Thank God for alcohol.
Right.
Thank God for, you know, so there's a lot to be said for that. Alcohol back in the day, and probably still is today, it's the biggest truth serum there is. Because once people are loaded, they start to talk about their real emotions, I think.
Yeah, and they do things that they might not normally do sober, you know?
That's right. When they're sober, there's too
many. Lactic on his head.
Yeah, well, when people are – when here's what I tell guys. When women are sober, and you're going to laugh at this. This is true. When women are sober, they're like the Death Star in Star Wars. In other words, there's layer upon layer upon layer of defenses. And you're Luke Skywalker and you're Rebel fighter going into the canyon there and trying to shoot down that. And that to me is the ultimate sperm in the egg movie scene ever. Because you're battling all these lasers to get it in the Death Star, in the egg. So Luke Skywalker is like the sperm, the head sperm, going into the tunnel, and as he's going there at Mach speed, Darth Vader's trying to kill him, shoot him down, block him, deflect him, radar beams, bursts of radiation, every step of the way, to be blunt, every inch of the way, damn it. The guy is maneuvering like crazy, navigating all the laser beams. Finally, Luke is the hero. He gets it in there like a hockey puck at a hockey game. Kaboom! And then he flies out. Then you have the spontaneous combustion and the birth of a new galaxy.
The force is strong with this one.
The force is strong with this one, as Obi-Wan Kenobi would say. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, as a kid, I watched that. When I got older, I went, oh, that's what George Lucas meant. Kind of a double entendre. You know? The force is strong with this one. And then you hear the music, and then they had that big pageantry at to the end. And Luke, as the head sperm who got it in there, gets a medal. He got a medal. He walks up on stage. Everyone's clapping, pull-up barrel style. He gets a medal, and he walks back down, and it's a happy ending. And everyone likes a happy ending, if you know what I mean. So another double entendre. I need a drum. I need to get a drummer in a studio to go, doo-doo-doo. I'm going to hire me a drummer and a new bartender. No offense to you over there. So keep the drinks flowing. Thank you. They hear me.
Yeah, just take another drink. Everything will be all right.
My little midget elf bringing over a. Oh, I'm sorry. He's a little person. Same thing. God, we are the equal opportunity offender on this show. So if you listen long enough to the Von Wien show, you will be offended, but only in a funny way or a good way, hopefully. And it's all in wealth. It's all in fun, folks. All in fun. So what are your final thoughts to America and to the American Bachelor, Cacao Kelly? What would you say?
What would I say?
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to be a bachelor, but
that's right.
It does take time to find somebody. Actually, it took me, 14 years to find Irish Pirate, and
yes.
I am so grateful that I did. So, of course,
nice.
We did have, divine intervention.
Yes, you did.
That's what it took.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Well, I
Very
actually
true.
Had given up. I gave up and I said, you know what? There's nobody out there for me. Okay, so if I'm going to be single, then I'm going to be single on my own terms. And I'm sure Irish Pirate had similar thoughts.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know it, we were at the grocery store at the discount and, things went.
So you
there,
all met
you know?
The grocery store in the frozen food section or the vegetables?
No, the clearance.
Not the vegetable section as an animal house, but you all met in the clearance section.
Yeah, really discounting everything off. So I was like, okay.
You found each other. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah,
that's the way to
awesome.
Be. You both gave each other a great deal, is how I look at it, a great deal. In the discount section of the grocery store. I love it. What a great story.
So my message to bachelors out there, and even bachelorettes, if there's any on the call,
sure.
is don't give up. Don't give
I like
up
that.
Because it may not be the time frame that you want to meet them, but, you know, it may be in God's time frame.
I totally agree. Cacao Kelly, thank you so much for calling the show. Appreciate you
All
out
right.
there. Good
well,
talking
thank you.
To you.
Von Wien.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great night. You and Irish out there. Thanks so
okay.
much.
You too. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Awesome call from Cacao Kelly. Wow, love that one. You see, they met at the clearance section of the local grocery store. If they can meet, you can too. Anything is possible in America. And like I've always told you guys, this show is not anti-marriage or anti-anything like that. We love women. But the premise of the show, the premise is that most men will be a bachelor before, of course, they get married. And many men today in America are bachelors for more years, more adult years, than they are actually in a either a serious relationship or, i.e., married, based on the stats, et cetera, et cetera. Well, think of this great show as your infamous and rogue Playboy Mansion on the air, where it's always cocktail hour, where there are always lots of women and variety to keep the bachelor's focus and game on, where the bar is always open, thank God, where you can have a good smoke and a good broad, yes. Well, you know, it's like James Bond movies, you know, and you are the young Jedi Bachelor Knight. I told you before, we will party like the Rat Pack Las Vegas style and live large. The secret to life, boys, is this. Be the man you always wanted to be. Be the man you were destined to be. Nobody is stopping you on my show. Be what you want. And whether you stay a bachelor or someday get married and have children, remember, you always do it on your own terms. On your manly terms, and there is no substitute for victory, and there is no substitute for not being there, and no real excuse for failure in life, my friends. I welcome you all again to the Bachelor's Den. You would enjoy that little bit of 1970s funk there. Very, very cool music from that era, that genre. Gotta love it. This is what I would say. Here's some thoughts here. America does not need millions of more military-age males coming in from the third world. What America needs for the American bachelor is millions of hot women or hot young women for these countries coming in, especially the ones from Eastern Europe and the Hispanic countries, especial. That's what we need. We have enough men, enough busboys and landscapers, thank you. We do not need more of them. And some more quotes from the Von Weekend Bachelor's Den. Business is war. Love is war, or can be. Dating is war, but shouldn't be. Politics, we know, is always war. If your kids are attractive, they will have a leg up in life. Looks, physicality, and brains is what they need. Dating is toxic, but you must win. Some more thoughts for my rants. You are a new man of the millennium. It's all good in the hood. And you don't let the turkeys get you down, boys. The media is trying to demoralize you and depress you. They're pathetic fake news. Don't let them get away with it. And yes, it is true. I do want to go to Planet X with the hot, bodacious blondes or brunettes. As reported by CIA remote viewer, this planet is real. And it's the perfect planet for me. The perfect planet for the bachelor extraordinaire in America. Send me to Planet X. And my book needs to be on every college campus in America and on every man's bookshelf. And we have reached out to you, and you know who you are. So you got to call us back. Now, also, there is no need for you to recreate the wheel here, guys. All you got to do is listen to the show. We can grow the show. We can buy more airtime. We can do more things like that. So we need your sponsorship. If you want to sponsor my shows, please contact me at the station or VonWeHuntShow@gmail.com. And guys, don't forget the $10 coffee date. If they want to meet up with you, the ladies will. If not, don't worry about them. They only see you as a mark, an easy mark at that, or maybe a walking ATM machine. So, got to watch your downside, boys. Be careful out there. I don't care what's trendy. Always look out for yourself and your Goomba Rat Pack pals. And with that, let's get to Paul the Gladiator, and then we'll get to Breath the Surfer here soon, too. The Gladiator is in the Bachelor's Den. How's it going, man?
Good, man. What's happening?
Good, good. Having a good time tonight, drinks are flowing, and what's on your mind, my friend? What is going on?
Well, you know, when as we're talking to these younger bachelors, there's a few things that came to mind as I was cleaning up my workday. And
yes.
When you're young and you're hitting the street in the world, I had mentors who taught me these lessons. The first lesson was act as if, right? Act as if you're the successful businessman going out there. Matter of fact, I had a mentor tell me, look, you look really young because you're really young. You're like 23 years old. He said, where do you get your hair cut? And I said, oh, I know a girl that does it. He goes, have her put some gray hair right to the side, right above your ear, each side, just very little, so you look like maybe you're in your 30s. Just a little bit. Just do a little, you know, silver or gray. And I flipped and did it. Said, watch the way people will listen to you now. Before, they would look at you, not listen. Now they're going to listen and then look. Right? So act as if. And if you're, you know, if you're in a pandemic job where you're working over the phone, right, remotely from home, well, act as if the person you want to be and be that person on the phone. Just act as if when you're young so that you can, you know, basically make it, right? If you act as if, you will fake it till you make it. Pretend you are the person you want to be. Act that way. You'll fake it until you are that person you want to be, right? And then also, I was actually talking to a younger friend of mine in Tennessee while I was working tonight, and it came up because he had a couple questions about some things, and I said, listen, you know, I'm a lot older than you, and I've been in your position before. And I said, you know, you got to make a plan. You got to have a plan every day, every week, every month, every year, because if you fail to plan, then you are planning to fail. I said, you know, these three lessons I took when I was younger really deep to heart. Like, I'm not going to fail to plan. I'm going to have my daily. I'm going to take everything, what I want to have in a macro, right, every annual basic goal. I break the annual down to the month, to the week, to the day. So I know exactly how much I'm making each day, so I know how much I'm going to make throughout the year. And I have that in front of me, taped to the large screen in front of me. So I know, you know, if I'm feeling like, man, I just really don't want to do this today, but I look at that note. It's like putting notes on the mirror, right? Which, you know, I have notes on mirrors in my house. I have notes on the wall.
Yes.
I frame. Like, I don't, I practice what I preach, boys. And on my computer, I have notes. So I know when I'm drinking my latte in the morning during overtime hours, and I'm like, I really just don't want to do this, man. I could be hanging out in the sun in the morning drinking my coffee. I look at that, you know, daily deal, and I know, all right, I know what my day's worth financially. So, yeah, let's just get to it and make it happen. So if you don't do that on a daily basis, your weeks are going to turn into crap. Your month's going to turn into crap. And you're going to wake up 365 days from today, and you're not going to be achieving what you want. So don't fail to plan. Make a plan, and you will not fail. Fake it till you make it, and act as if you are the person you want to be. And for young bachelors, if you follow those and literally use those lessons every day, every week, every month, and every year, by the time you become a mature man, you would have accomplished some things in your life. Now, it doesn't matter if you really make it all the way. What matters is you don't want to look in the mirror and say, I wish I would have, I wish I could have, because even if you go for it and fail, you're young enough to fail. I failed many times when I was young, and I didn't care. My family and friends would be like, why do you continue to go for it? And I said, because I'm not dying looking back at my life saying, I wish I would have, I wish I could have. I want to say, you know, I went for it. At least if I end up dead broke, right, at age 65, dead or dead broke, one of the two that most people end up at 65 years old in America, that's a United States government statistic. You're either dead or dead broke at 65. And if you're dead broke, you're relying on family and friends for financial support, right? That's the average.
Right.
But if I end up there, I want to know that I at least went for it full blast throughout my years. And, hey, I just didn't make it. No big deal. I don't have that regret hanging over my head that I didn't go for it. But here's the trick. If you do go for it, and you fail, and you go for it, and you fail, and you go for it, and you have a little success. And then you go for it, and you got a little success. And then you learn the way how to have better successes, higher highs, higher lows, right? Just like the stock market from the Depression till now, higher highs, higher lows. Lives should go like that too. Because if you don't learn lessons along the way and get to a higher low, right, not as low as you were before, it's a little higher, but it's off the peak you just came off of, that'll give you the lesson to go up another peak again, you know, and higher high, and then you may hit a low again. But at least it'll be a higher low, so at the end of your life, you'll look back at all the successes and all the efforts up and down, but look where you ended up. You can shoot for the stars, and you may land on the moon, but even if you end up on the clouds, you're not standing on dirt. That's the lesson for the young
guys. I like that. I love it. Very good points there, man. I love it. Yeah, the worst thing in life, Paul, is you hear these people say they're like up in age, you know, or even middle age, and they'll say, I could have, would have, should. I could have, would have. That's the worst regret is say, I could have done something, and I should have done something, and I would have done something, but I didn't do it. And see, here's the thing in America that I was always taught, and it sounds in alignment with what you were taught. Guys, it's okay to fail. That's where you learn in everything you're doing. It's okay to fail. We made failure into being, oh, you failed. Oh, you know, once. Oh, you're marked for life. It's on your permanent record. You're going to die. No, it's like people go overly dramatic on actually you should fail. You are really society expects you, which is good, to fail a lot when you're a young guy. They don't expect you to really be at 22 or 25 to be a multimillionaire, to be a rags to riches story. They expect you to fall flat on your ass, get fired, get ran out of companies, jobs, desks. That's what happened to me. I was a rogue bachelor. I kept reinventing myself like a chameleon. I kept shedding one snake skin and going into another one. My shark boots were on. And I kept thinking of new waters to patrol. And it's okay to fail. You're going to fail with chicks. You might fail on a job. And each one's a learning experience. And you hone your craft. And steel sharpens steel, right? And pretty soon, you'll be the tip of the spear. And then you'll be the leader of the pack. And then you're eventually going to make it. Like I said, little baby steps. And you'll make it.
Right.
Eventually, little successes build upon big successes. I always say, everyone wants the Taco Bell empire overnight. But you don't know that the Taco Bell started off with one guy, a bachelor, with a taco stand in L.A. That's where
right.
it all began. One taco stand, guys. And anybody can start stuff like that. It doesn't cost $1 million to do everything. Go ahead, Paul.
Well,
off my soapbox here.
Yeah, no, the lesson that I learned of going for it and not worrying if you're going to fail or not was at 18 years old, I graduated high school. You know, I already had my scholarship in place. Here I am going off to university, play football, you know, get a finance degree and then go to law school. I mean, I had a very, very rare opportunity. I blew off the university, went to another school for a six-year scholarship for 4 years for a finance degree and 2 years of law school. And here I am. My grandfather gets put into hospice. Now, on my mother's side of the family, not an educated man. He was an iron worker and a blacksmith. And on his deathbed, me and him in hospice, 2 weeks in a row, bringing him Italian ice and sundaes, getting yelled at by the nurses. Of course, nobody's going to stop me, you know, when you're 18 and you're, you know, looking the way I did. No, everybody's like, okay, you're going to do what you're going to do, right? And,
right.
You know, this man who literally was not very emotional, not very talkative, we're talking, and he opens up, and that's when I learned the lesson of how not to die with regret, because he died with all the regret. He died penniless, nothing. You know, he gave me the watch off his wrist, and that was all he had. And we were talking about him being told by his family and friends and his fiance, then his wife, my grandmother, don't do that. You're going to lose your money. You'll fail. You'll do this. And he always stopped going for any opportunities because everybody told him, don't do that. You'll lose your money. You'll fail, blah, 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 right? And here he was dying with all this regret. And I saw the pain, right? And mm-hmm. I made a commitment to never die like that. Go for it. So every time an opportunity jumped in front of me in my life, I just jumped at it because I didn't want to end up like that. That man taught me a lesson without him knowing he was teaching me the lesson. He taught me such a valuable lesson to go for it in life because we talked about it. And he said, you know, and if I had tried and failed, at least I wouldn't be dying with all the regret because I can't do anything now. I'm going to die. You know, and he succumbed to that fact, right? And I said, mm-hmm. yeah, but even if you tried all the things that you were going to try, I said, you would have had to find a way to succeed, right? Or you would have met somebody along the way who you'd either, you know, together succeed, or he maybe or she would have taught you how to succeed, right? I'm like, you would have had to go down different roads in your life that you did go down. You would have gone on different paths and kept choosing different paths with opportunity, right? And, you know, I was a pretty bright kid. You know, I had a academic scholarship with my football scholarship, and you know, I kind of wrapped that around my brain at 18 years old, and it set me on my path of opportunity, jump. When a racing helmet and a racing suit was available because the driver that we sponsored didn't show up at a major racetrack in New Hampshire, I grabbed it.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. I gave a part of my French, but, you know, me and my father gave him the money. That's half my money. That's my car. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
It's fast. This guy's not driving the right. He's not showing up yet. It's got to go on for the time trial. I'm grabbing the helmet. I'm grabbing the suit. I'm jumping in, and I'm doing it. And when he showed up,
damn right,
when he showed up and saw the car in third place on time trials, he looked at me, looked at my parents, looked at me, and he goes, "Well, you bought the car anyway, kid. You're right. I'm driving scared. It's your car." Now, I never won a NASCAR race in that modified tour, but I raced from Dover, Delaware, to Watkins Glen, New Hampshire, to Nazareth, Pennsylvania, to Stafford Springs, Connecticut. And, you know, never won, but, hey, I was there, and I had fun, right? And I was smart enough to hand that car off when it was done to the best driver we had to take over from there, right? And eventually got out of that automotive business and went down to Wall Street. But at least I don't have the regret of saying, you know, remember when I could have grabbed that helmet and the fire suit? I don't have that regret. I grabbed it. I went for it. And I had fun, right? But things like that, you know, that'll lead you down the road, you know, when I'm on a train going to the Big East tournament and I'm talking about raising money for a movie for two guys and the director shows up and the producer doesn't and the director says, "Listen, we parted ways. Do you want to produce that movie?" Okay. I don't know anything about it, but yeah, why not? You know, we ended up producing a film, and it was an independent film, raised $500,000, and it looked like it was worth $3 million. And, you know, some pretty good people were in it. Ron Howard's father, Rance Howard, Leslie Estabrook from the Police Academy movies. You know, so, you know, Chris Farley's brothers. Yeah, Chris Farley's brothers, Kevin and John, tried to make John a star like Jim Belushi was to John Belushi kind of thing. But, you know, with opportunities like that, you know, comes experience. And, you know, it didn't, you know, turn into this great career. But, hey, it looked really good on the resume. And let me tell you, those things got me in the door at a lot of corporations when I needed a job, right? It got me in the door and become their best salesperson because they were like, "Wait a minute, kid went from a race car and then he raised money, did a movie, co-produced the movie. You know, he sold this. He was on Wall Street and did this. I got to give this guy a shot, you know, in a widget company."
I would.
He'll probably be my best salesperson, right? So my lessons to the young guys listening is go for it. Who cares if you fail when you're young? You don't have a family to support and children to support. Who cares? And if you fail, take the lesson into the next one. So you never repeat that lesson again. I had a really good mentor once teach me a lesson of taking responsibility for the failure, right? He said, "Look, have you ever earned $100,000 a year yet?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Do you want the lesson?" And I go, "Yeah." Because I was rolling about 50, 60, 70 a year, and it was, you know, in the very early 90s. And he said, "Listen, here's the lesson. Did you screw up?" And I go, "Well, I guess if we're talking about it, I screwed up." He goes, "Well, then come with me and sit in front of my other partners and tell them how bad you screwed up. And then tell them you'll never let it happen again because now you know what happened, and you'll never, ever screw that way up again. And by the way, you screwed it up royal. Like, nobody could screw that up as much as you did, and tell them that and own it. And then when you take responsibility for the failures like that, and it's no big deal, because he was laughing about it, right? Here's the big general partner. He's like, "Look, it's life. We're humans. We're not machines. We're supposed to make mistakes. But if you own it and you take responsibility for that mistake, when you have the successes, you can take responsibility for making that happen." And I owned up to it in front of everybody, came back 1 week later, and I had such a big production, and I smashed it on the table, and I said, "Hey, guys, I did that." And they all stood up and grabbed me and hugged me, and the general partner said, "Now I got to fire my brother-in-law and make you a junior partner because of what you just did."
Love it.
Right?
Paul, thanks for the call, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. You got it. There's another lesson.
Words
for young bachelor. Take responsibility.
Yes,
guys.
They
got
to hear that.
Yeah, and because if you don't take responsibility, don't point fingers at anybody else. Point the fingers at you, both your fingers. Hit your chest and say, "That was me. I screwed up, but it'll never happen again." And then when the successes happen, then you can pound your chest and say, "That was me." And nobody else can take credit for it.
Make sense?
Love it. Makes sense, man. I love it. Great call, Paul. Great stories,
man.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's Paul the Gladiator, folks. Heed that. I got the smartest callers in the biz, and I like it that way. Now, most talk show hosts feel threatened. I notice this all the time. They'll have a smart caller on these national TV, you know, or radio shows. They go, "Oh well, thanks a lot. We'll get, you know, we'll stay in touch." And they get them off the line, or they'll get they want the dumb callers to call in so they can yell at them or chat with them. I'm the exact opposite. I don't want the dumb callers. I want the smartest callers because I'm very confident in myself and what I'm doing and my masculinity and my manhood. I'm not looking to people to dull my senses or dull the show or make it boring like a rhino, you know, talk radio show. I want the show to be the tip of the spear. To be the tip of the spear, I've got to have, and I want to have, the smartest callers, like you've heard tonight, and on the Thursday show, of course. And that's what I prefer. And I'm the exact opposite of what you're going to hear on any other radio show. Because I'm telling you, most other talk show hosts have too big of an ego. They're too easily threatened by people who got great opinions and great stories. And me, I love it. Can't get enough of it. My only regret in life is that we don't have enough airtime to talk even more. How about those apples? Well, if you're looking for a gift for your girlfriend or your wife-to-be, you might want to listen to this ad first. What do you think, guys?
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave. Take it off. Take it all off. Nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
How close do you
God, I love that. But maybe you're a bachelor on the make. Maybe you're the up-and-coming kind of a guy. And by the way, whenever you call the Von Wien Show, we love your calls. And we want to hear from you if you're a bachelor in America, 563-999-3437. That number again is 563-999-3437. Call in. We'll get you on the air. Guaranteed. We want to hear from you. But maybe you're a big spender from time to time, and once in a while you got to get out there on the town, got to show your lady a good time. Not every night, can't afford that, but it's okay to be a big spender. That sounds like this.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender. Good looking, so refined. I figured that you're the Muriel, the God-spoken kind. So let me get right to the point. You're right in style when you're in Muriel's company. Hey, big spender, spend a little dime with me.
Join the Muriel Miles crowd. Pick one up and smoke it sometime.
Yes, yeah, smoke it sometime. Put down your pipe and smoke it, America. Well, we're going to get Brett the Surfer on. I want to change up his intro surf song tonight. I got in something a little retro, a little different. Let me see how it plays out here. On the show, we will experiment from time to time with some other sounds and promos. This is sort of my experimental show And this is from the late 1960s. Brett, this is your long distance dedication. This one's for you. Kind of a cool retro tune for the 1960s. Let's get Brett the Surfer on. He was, of course, a surfer out there off the California coast late 1960s, surfing the waves and catching a cool buzz and hearing all the latest tunes. What's going on, man?
Oh, yeah.
What's your report on the ocean side?
Oh, man, just we're rocking it. Had a little earthquake here, deep underground earthquake along Southern California. So, I'm hoping there might be some, I don't know. I guess I was just a little shaken. I don't know if it's a prelude to what is going to occur here in the future, probably. But do we know when? No, we don't really know. Do we know when this bubble is going to pop, I was singing them.
Which one?
I don't know. Yeah, which one?
The stock market, I think, will go first. Yeah, that will implode first. That you papered that over so much. It's now a paper mache.
Yeah. The bachelors need to think about that. You know, I was just thinking about the pipe you were talking about. Do you smoke a pipe, Vaughn?
Yes, I do smoke a pipe. And I've got about four or five pipes here. Many things you don't know about me.
Wow.
In Radioland. I do I do like some cigars. I cannot stand cigarettes, though I do play their ads. I will take their money to play their ads. I can be bought at a price, a high price. But I do like cigars, and I do like the pipe smoking like Hugh Hefner. Yeah, I've always enjoyed. My dad smoked a pipe. Kind of a German thing.
Do you have a particular type of tobacco that you put in your pipe?
The Cherry Cavendish, the Black Cherry Cavendish, great aroma. Mm. I used to love when my father used to smoke a pipe like Hugh Hefner in our house. I loved pipe aroma. And some cigar aroma is good, but there's nothing like pipe aroma. It's just. I can breathe it all day long. It's not good for you, but now cigarettes stink to me. Cigars are cool and they're cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking moderation.
Correction. Exactly. So I will walk around my compound with a pipe and my holster with my pistol, my pistolero in it, and walk around the ground to make sure that we're, well, you never know. I mean, they could jump over the fence and try to kidnap me and hold me for ransom, God forbid. They will be going down. Either I will get them first or my guard dog, Panzer, will attack them. And the dog is well trained, of course. But you never know, man. I mean, I've got as some people know, I've got like a little perch that I built on purpose for defensive purposes. I have a military mind. I'm always thinking of a little, you know, place to go to and spot the enemy a mile away. I can go up there, and I can look around and scour the neighborhood for my perch.
It's important to have
and,
a little place that you can, you know, you can escape to or get protection, have protection, you know. And
absolutely.
I mean, when things go crazy,
it,
man, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, if you're a young person, you know, you really – you need to think about preparing, you know, and when you're out there looking for someone, you know, if that's what you're going to do, you know, make sure there's someone that's strong, you know, your partner is someone that's strong, you know, strong character, strong physically, hopefully, you know, in a good way, you know, that they're athletic, you know, not that they're, you know, they put you to shame or anything like that. Or they're a better surfer, you know, that's not going to work, you know. So, but,
well, you're the best
surfer. I mean, you know.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, of course, man. But, I don't know, we have some uncertain times right now. So being a bachelor, it's still, I'm sure, an exciting life, you know. You still have to be prepared, you know. You can live that bachelor lifestyle, but prepare things, you know, for yourself and maybe.
That's right. And I know. Absolutely. And when you've been surfing off the Mexican coast from time to time off the Baja Peninsula.
Yeah.
As I said before, I'm in my past shows, the Mexicans have a slogan. It's no money, no honey, senor. You know, so the bachelor guys, you got to work and make that money. Now, let's get down to brass tacks here. I want to get your opinion on this. As I cruise around town in my armored personnel carrier, I see all these young guys on the street corner. Now, just a few nights ago, me and the Gladiator were driving around. There was a little kid up here in North Phoenix off Bell Road who had a sign that said, I should have listened to Mom and Dad, but I'm here on the streets, the mean streets of America. Guy was about 20 years old, looked forlornly at me, and I go, yeah, you should have listened to Mom and Dad. That's why you're on the streets. So beat it, kid. No, I didn't say that. I was like, you know, but, you know, when there's a lot of these guys that are out there, and a lot of these guys, they need to listen to the show. They need to just, I hate to use that cliche term, but it is true, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Figure it out. No one's going to give you $1 million, okay? Capiche? You got to figure it out.
Exactly.
When I was coming up, my dad, my uncle, said, Von Lars, you got to figure it out, kid. Now, your generation's going to be different than mine. I can tell you what worked for me. My dad had a great line. He said, use everything you can that I tell you. What doesn't work for you as an individual, throw it away and develop your own algorithm, you know, your own mentality, he said. Develop your own slogans.
Yeah.
Think independently of the system and of other people. I was trained to be independent, ingrained in me. It was also ingrained in me to beat the system. Beat the system. Don't let the system get you down, boys. Don't let it demoralize you. Beat the system any way you can. Now, everyone's got to work. It's not about not working. Those guys took it to the extreme where they went, I'm going to beat the system and not even work for anybody. And now you're at Bell Road with a freaking cardboard sign looking like a loser and a moron. If you were out there with a cardboard sign, I'm sorry, but it is true that once you go down that path, if you don't get yourself off the streets, guys, in 1 year, you're sunk. I'm sorry. They sunk your battleship, like in that retro game, right? They sunk your battleship. In other words, it's going to take you – it's going to be Herculean efforts to get out of the street, to get a hot shower, to find even McDonald's who will hire you. Because everybody wants a resume, and they want to know an address to send their tax forms to. You don't even have an address. Man, that's the first step. And a lot of guys are stuck in that, so that's a whole other chapter. But
that is, and it's
these guys are out there, and you're right, the economy is going to get real dicey for people because we have one bubble after the other. Now, our government's really good at keeping the bubbles going, right? But bachelors need to be working and saving. Keep it simple. Keep it basic. Get a car. Get a pad. Don't get a luxury apartment. Get basic clothing at first.
Live below your means.
Live
below your means.
Live below your means. Right. And as you do that, you'll start to
save some money. Something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Jim Morrison live for free on a friend's rooftop in Venice Beach before he invented with Ray Manzarek? I love that story.
Yeah.
He lived on the rooftop, guys.
67.
Now, granted, he had the best weather in the country. You can't do that in Kansas. But my point is, he beat the system. Jim Morrison in L.A. wasn't paying rent. He lived for free on the beach before it became trendy. Now it's too trendy. But my point is, he was a man of his time. The guy was very thrifty. The guy knew a friend that had this palatial, you know, like a big pad above his garage, chairs and couches, and a little grill. And he just said, hey, I'll just hang out here and write songs and poems, and I've got a rock band in my mind. He met people, and he was along that track, and you were probably surfing off the coast. And, you know, now the doors, when he met Ray Manzarek out there in Los Angeles, the story is, it's a rock and roll famous story. You know, Ray goes, Jim, play some of your songs for me. You sing a few. And Jim got in the ground, and he sang Moonlight Drive. And Ray goes, those are the most far-out lyrics I've ever heard. We're going to make $1 million. We're going to go have a rock band. And Jim Morrison said, Ray, you're just the kind of guy I wanted to meet. That's what I wanted to do all along. And boom, the doors started right there in L.A. Now, people say, why are you bringing up a rock and roll show? Well, we're a bachelor show. We're a variety show. I can talk about anything. I'm not constrained. And the thing about Jim Morrison is, he is like Hugh Hefner, who I talked about earlier in the show. He also made a lot of people rich. You know, when you create something, you make millions of dollars. Creation, create a song, create a book, create a movie, create anything, a new widget, a new toy. People love that. Creation, like the Big Bang Theory, like our universe.
Yeah.
Creation. That's what it's about. That's where fortunes can be made on one level. Fortunes can be made in the down markets too. But I love the people that create stuff. That's America.
Yeah.
You know, we are a nation of inventors and thinkers and dreamers and hard workers. You know, we're a little bit of everything.
And that's the beauty of America, and sadly, it's going to the wayside, and you know, we're headed into I don't know, more than communism, like totalitarianism. You know, it's just the way things are going. It's a scary time. You know, but we just have to be prepared. You know, and the way to prepare is get yourself together, just be aware of what's going on. It's very important to you know, just, there's a beauty of being fearless, but there's also the importance of knowing fear and how to manage your fear in a way to, you know, realize that you know, there are things, and be prepared. You know, and I think being prepared helps you alleviate, you know, you don't want to lose, be totally fearless, but, you know, and you need, I say that in a good way, that you need to, just know that things can happen. Things aren't just going to be, real estate prices and the stock market's not just going to keep going up and up and up. And there are corrections and there are times and there are wars and, you just have to be aware. And I guess I don't know, does that make sense? What I'm saying there?
It does. It does. I will keep off our conversation with this thought. We live out west, right? I've always believed, like Jim Morrison said, the west is the best. I've always believed that. When I was a young man, it was go west, young man. You know how things resonate with you or me? Well, when things resonate with you, guys, you've got to have that emotional intelligence, that enough reflection where you go, yeah, I like that. I want to do that. Now, not everything will resonate with you, and that's the way it's supposed to be. That's okay. Some people like country music. Some people like rock and roll music. You get my drift. My thing is, when I heard Go West, Young, a man, I went, no, I was raised out west in California, in Sacramento. We lived in Anaheim, in Las Vegas, and we went to Tampa, in Dallas. My thing is, I basically said, I'm going to go back out west after college. I went to Purdue and in Indiana, and then I was out of state student. And then my thing is like, you go where you resonate. Now, I kind of felt like a fish out of water in some ways back east or back in the Southland, though I loved it and I thrived. But I really, my heart, let's just say, was out west. So when I got out here, I felt at home. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a intangible feeling. And I really felt at home. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where you'll conduct your life. Now, I bought a house. Now, that's what I'm getting at. When I got out here, as you did, Brett, and other people, the homes out here in Arizona, for example, which is the new California, the homes out here were very affordable. I landed here first in 1993, moved out officially in 95. Okay. Bought a house in 2000. Mm-hmm. My point is, they were giving away the West back then, not anymore. So west of the Rockies, it's all gone up exponentially. I don't care if I've looked at Boise, Utah. Of course, California is crazy. But there's not many pockets out west where it's affordable. If you're a young buck, if you're a young guy, especially 20s and 30s, And I've told guys this before. They complain. I can't afford a home in Phoenix. I can't afford a home in Vegas. You got two options in my book. You can either dramatically increase your income, or get married, have double income, where you can afford the house and stay out west. Or that your second option is you got to move to where it's cheaper in the country. And I'll tell you where it's cheaper, guys. I'll tell you. No one's telling you this, but the Von Wiegand Show. Is I looked at houses. You can go to Zillow, Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma. That's what they call the Texarkana region. Texas overall is too expensive. Now, Amarillo is very affordable. But in that part of the country, that swath, it's not real popular. But guess what? A guy can buy a decent home for $100,000, $125,000, maybe cheaper. You can go to Missouri.
Well, you know, at least you've got a house, and you might be able to get some land even.
That's right. I'm just saying, guys, you got to go where it's cheaper, because this idea of a real estate bust ain't going to happen out here. And I'll tell you why. Because we're right in Arizona. We are blessed in many ways being right by California. And we have a constant stream, every realtor tells me, of California people who are cashing out, especially in Southern California, not Northern, and they're coming to Arizona, and they're buying houses for cash. Now, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Arkansas, though not that popular, but who cares about popularity and trendiness? That's where you can buy a home for $80,000 to $100,000. $120,000, $150,000 will buy you a damn nice house there. I know. I've looked, and I've told guys, you can't afford this $350,000 to $450,000 for a home in Phoenix anymore. You can't do it. And they go, I know I can't qualify. No. The bank won't give a loan. Well, I tell the guy, you've got a couple of options. You know, when they call me, they email me, and I tell all of them, look at that other part. And don't get me wrong. I know it's more beautiful out here. We have mountains and palm trees and, you know, ski country up north. But you're going to feel a lot better when you got a home of your own and money in the bank. And from there, you could do that for 10 years,
yeah.
Cash out, have some seed money, and then move out here or move back. But I'm just saying, boy, can you buy a home out in that part of the country? You know, it's not really the Midwest, but it's like the lower Midwest. You are not in the Deep South. You're not in, and they're not bad. Those people out there, those are red states. They're good people, and it's cheap, dirt cheap to live.
Yeah, I had a buddy
cheap rents and cheap mortgages.
San Jose, mm-hmm. And he lived there all his life. He was so sick of the politics and the traffic and the crowds that he moved to Arkansas, and he's still there.
Where do you move in Arkansas?
He enjoys it. You know, he loves it. But
what's a part of Arkansas did he move to?
I'm not sure exactly. I think it's close to the border of Texas. I don't know if it's I don't know exactly the town. It was a small town.
Well, Fayetteville's up there by Missouri, either Texarkana or there's Fort Smith. It's on the corner of Oklahoma.
I think it's Fort Smith that it's close to. Yeah.
Okay. I've driven there before. And I've driven through Fayetteville. There's also the northern Arkansas is gorgeous. Mountains and hills, and that's very popular. A lot of California hippies actually have moved up there because you could buy a home up there a few years ago, and it's still pretty true for less than $100,000. Now, it may take some renovation. For $200,000, still half the price of Phoenix, you can buy a very nice home. Very nice. I mean, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2,000 square feet, 2-car garage, fenced yard. I'm just saying, guys, think outside the box. You're not stuck anywhere. You got to go where it's cheap for a while so you can save up some seed money, man. And then you can start your business.
Yeah.
And then you can do things, and you never know. Look, there's a lot of money. Back in those states, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, Kansas, it's quiet money. There's a lot of money back there, and people live good back there. Now, it's not flashy like L.A. or, you know, Scottsdale or, you know, the West Coast maybe or the East Coast. But, again, you got to go where it's cheap, man, and that's one part of the country that I've noticed time and time again. It's dirt cheap to live, cheap utilities, cheap land you can buy. You can buy and have an Arkansas ranch, have an Oklahoma ranch, whatever. I mean, the house is in Missouri, and I'll even give you some towns, St. Joseph, Missouri. Now, I worked there once. From 60,000 to $120,000 for your average house. You can buy a house there for $60,000 to $80,000 right now and get a job in town. These are hard people.
You know, you're looking at you're a young couple. You can't you got to be making to buy a house that's $400,000 is going to get you like an average house. But,
oh my God!
You know, $400,000. It's kind of hard to think about, but you got to put down. You want to forget the private mortgage insurance. You got to put down 20% on $400,000.
Right.
So $80,000. You
they don't have
$80,000. You know.
That's insane, man.
You know,
that's insane. You're 22, 21, 25. You don't have $80,000. F that.
Yeah.
You got to go where it's cheaper. Or you got to really jack up the income somehow. And guys don't normally marry rich into rich families. Women do. So guys, don't even get that thought in your mind. I'm going to marry a rich Scottsdale girl. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Rare.
Yeah.
But the real estate angle is critical because you need a place to live. Don't be homeless. Don't be on the street. Don't be a loser. Okay. A lot of guys were there for various reasons. I get that. My point is go where it's cheaper and start your nest egg and start building somewhere. Don't sit around your parents' house for 20 years bitching that you can't afford to buy a house in Phoenix because you're outpriced. And guess what? We have bidding wars here. All over the place. You don't have bidding wars as much in the Midwest. That's my case. How about apples, Brett?
Oh,
that's right. You got to get where it's cheaper. Hey, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night, Brett.
Brother. All right, man. Enjoy
it
your
is.
Show, man. Have a good one.
You too. Thanks, Brett. Brett's a surfer, folks. Talked a little real estate tonight. We talked a little surfing with Brett. You know, we talked about the Doors before. One of my favorite rock and roll bands. Well, they have a song, which is really our theme tonight, Take It As It Comes. And it was a hit back in the late 60s, so let's go ahead and play it today. It's timeless lyrics. Listen to the lyrics and the beat. You'll dig it. I know.
Time to live. Time to lie. Time to laugh. Time to die. Take it easy, baby. Take it as it comes. Don't move too fast.
Take it as it comes. Love that. Remember, all businesses start out small, and they can grow into behemoths. Monsters, if you will. Empires. Takes a while. Let's take the Playboy Mansion out there in L.A. One of my favorite stories as well. I study these people, and I like what I see, so people intrigue me. And Hugh Hefner has always intrigued me. We're both fire signs, by the way, too. He's an Aries, I'm a Leo, so we get along very, very, very well. So I get the guy, right? So my thing is, he bought the Playboy Mansion out there in Los Angeles, I think, and in the Hollywood Hills near Brentwood. And basically, when he bought it, now don't forget, that house, there's a big documentary about that house. The house was an old, dilapidated mansion. Oh, yeah. And I believe he bought it in 1972. For $1 million, like as Dr. Evil would say. And that was big, big money back in the day. My God, that was big, big, like mafia cash, right? So he bought this house. He was rolling in cash. That was huge money in the late 60s, early 70s. But he had his empire up and rolling. And he bought the house and he renovated it. It was an English Tudor mansion. Renovated it for several years, needed everything, new wood, new mahogany, new carpet. He did it all, new chandeliers. He fixed the wiring. But it was a big, big mansion that nobody wanted, stuck in the back on these rolling grounds, huge tract of land in L.A. He discovered it, and nobody wanted to buy it. It was an eyesore. And here comes Hugh Hefner with this suitcase full of cash, the Playboy King. And he walks up there, and he goes, he can visualize the house. He said, this house is going to be a Taj Mahal, a temple to my desires, to my lust, to my life. And I'm going to renovate it, and I'm going to make it beautiful again. I'm going to restore its proper elegance. I'm going to restore it to its former glory. And that's exactly what Hugh Hefner did. Now, you can bitch about the guy and talk about him all you want if you're a hater out there in Radio Land. My point is, the guy was a visionary, kind of like Bugsy Siegel out there in Las Vegas for the mob. He went to Las Vegas and said, I have a dream. I know this area is going to bloom and blossom. It's going to grow. Well, my point is, everything starts out with something. When Hugh Hefner walked up to the Playboy Mansion, he could visualize it and look at the Playboy Mansion today. Did you know today that mansion is worth $250 million? If you factor in the TV promotions, the millions a year it generates in TV revenue when they film shows like The Bachelor there and other kind of TV shows and commercials, still being used today in TV production. Okay, for Playboy Enterprises. Amazing the amount of money that's been kicked out from that piece of real estate. Now, look at Las Vegas. When Bugsy Siegel went there, that town's been making hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of profit. The mafia got a little impatient. They blew him away. You know the story. But they later realized, hey, this guy was a visionary. This guy knew what he was talking about. They built the infrastructure of Vegas. They had the Hoover Dam built, and it grew and it grew. Now, Vegas today brings in millions of consistent travelers and tourists every year, dropping money in those slot machines. It's amazing. Don't let your dreams slide, guys. Don't let your dreams ever go. And let nobody kill your dreams, boys. Let nobody kill it. Only you can do that, and you'll do it on your own manly terms. Well, it's been another great show, another extravagant show here. Our one show a month, it's the first Tuesday of the month. Never forget that. This year just happened to fall on February the 1st. And we're rolling into a new year. Let's make it a great year, a successful year for the American Bachelor. So signing off on episode 10. Our epic episode, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. We all wish you well. We wish you success, health, and wealth, and good times for all. Good night from the Playboy Mansion from Arizona. Have a great night. I'll talk to you all on Thursday night, guaranteed. Good night.